conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under the radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Wrong. This week, we're talking automotive news with someone from the outlet, Automotive News. It's my old co-host, Jake Neer. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Shayna.
So Governor Whitmer announced that she's going to ask for new vehicle rebates in her State of the State speech. Walk us through what these rebates are and how much money we're talking about.
So this is a program. It's a $25 million tax rebate program, apparently to boost vehicle sales in Michigan. People buying new cars, not used, but new cars, would get $2,500 on battery electric or hybrid vehicles that are made in a unionized factory, $2,000 on a hybrid or electric made in a non-unionized facility, a little bit less for anything gas-powered, so $1,500 on a gas-powered vehicle made in a unionized plant, and $1,000 rebate on a gas-powered vehicle made in a non-unionized factory.
New from the Embedded podcast. Female athletes have always needed grit and talent. But for decades, they've also needed a certificate.
There was chit-chat about, is that really a woman?
And even now, they're still being checked and questioned. Their story is the newest series from CBC and NPR's Embedded. It's called Tested. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So what is Governor Whitmer saying is the purpose of these rebates? What is she hoping to achieve with this plan?
Shayna, that is my biggest question about this.
You do have a lot of questions about this one.
So here's why I'm puzzled. So it's what is the purpose of this? Is it to actually boost new vehicle sales in Michigan? I mean, new vehicle sales aren't what they were before the chip shortage or the pandemic, but they have been steadily coming back since those supply issues and the pandemic have ended. So, you know, it's not like there's some emergency to boost vehicle sales right now. Is it to incentivize union-made and electrified vehicles? Well, if that's the case, why are we also going to be subsidizing non-union-made gas-burning vehicles? Even if it's less money, you're still having the state subsidize those. So I'm curious what the main goal here is. Maybe we'll hear more about that going up to the State of the State speech or in the speech, in statements or interviews leading up to that. But the best I can come up with is the reason for that is political, that, you know, you want to get votes from Republicans who are skeptical about EVs and unions. But either way, you end up with sort of a jumbled goal.
And what are some of the other questions that came to your mind when this was first announced?
Well, one of them is, so it's $25 million. Now, to put that into context, that would cover about 10,000, between 10,000 and 25,000 vehicles. That's roughly the number of new vehicles that are sold in Michigan in a week or two. So it's not a huge number. It's not a huge program. And I guess the question is, if you're going to be incentivizing and subsidizing these non-union gas-powered vehicles, if you took that, if you took those away, EVs and hybrids are still a pretty small part of the market. You could really stretch out that amount of money over a much longer period of time. So I don't know. It's another question to me as to the approach here.
I personally am quite fascinated with electric vehicles. I really want to know, are they the future? Can they be the future? What is going to happen with them? But there was big news coming out of Ford this week on electric vehicles. The company is actually cutting F-150 Lightning production by half in 2024 from 3,200 a week to 1,600 a week. And their reasoning was because they wanted to match the supply with the demand from customers. What is going on here? Why is Ford saying that we're not getting these electric vehicle sales?
Well, there's a lot to this question, and it really plays into the bigger narrative about EV sales and a lot of sort of, I would say, unnecessary panic that's kind of being pushed in through a lot of media sources that EV sales, there's just no demand and they're slowing down and all these things. We'll get to that in a second. When it comes to Ford specifically, there's a lot at play here. For one thing, The F-150 Lightning has gone through a lot of twists and turns since they first announced it. Originally, they sort of made it sound like a very affordable electric pickup that would do all the things that a regular pickup could do and more. But what we ended up getting was a much more expensive pickup. That was sort of a retrofitted, internal combustion vehicle with a battery in it, basically. So this is a, when you're towing and things like that, you're going to lose a lot of that battery range. So I think that reality for the F-150 Lightning has been so far a little bit different than what Ford was first touting. But maybe the bigger thing is that Ford is in the midst of building a huge battery in Blue Oval City down south that's going to create the next generation electric pickup. This is going to be the statement piece for Ford in the electric pickup world. And so the F-150 Lightning might not be as huge of a seller as maybe Ford made it out to be, but I think this next generation that's going to be built on an EV-specific platform that's going to be sort of purpose made to a market. It's going to be really interesting what happens there. So I wouldn't count Ford out of the electric pickup game just yet. And when it comes to that bigger question about EV sales, EV sales are still going up. The market share is still increasing. In fact, EV advocates would say that it's still increasing pretty rapidly. The issue is that the amount of growth has been narrowing a little bit as supplies have come back, as we have more new ICE vehicles on the lots. You know, the market is different this year than it was last year. There's actual inventory. Dealers actually have cars to sell. So, you know, it's not really comparing apples to apples right now. And I also think there's a lot of competition. A lot of the panic you're kind of hearing, maybe not panic, but a lot of the concerns you're hearing are from automakers themselves, who are saying, we're going to sort of roll back how many EVs we're putting out in the market in the future. And I think part of that is they did not realize there would be this much competition in that space. So it's not necessarily a total market issue. It might be, you know, individual automakers are having to sort of reshape their strategies.
So now is not the time to panic about EVs, is what you're saying.
I do not think so. I mean, you know, the amount of money that automakers are putting into converting their product lineups to EVs is immense. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars. They're not going back on that. That would be an absolute disaster if, they were to just give up on EVs. EVs, anyone in the industry will tell you that EVs are the future.
In other recent automotive news, the UAW filed unfair labor charges against Honda, Hyundai, and Volkswagen. Listeners probably remember that there were recently strikes by the Detroit Three. Jake, tell us more about what's going on here.
This is exactly what we were sort of expecting to happen after the Detroit Three and the UAW reached their contract negotiations. Not necessarily, unfair labor practice charges, but it is sort of a symptom of the UAW trying to capitalize on all the momentum that they got from the Detroit Three negotiations and the strike and the historic gains they got in those new contracts. Sean Fain, the president of the UAW, came out pretty much, maybe even before the contracts were ratified and said, we're going to go after the non-union companies next. Like this is, they're in our sights. We are, not stopping after these contracts are signed. Honda, Hyundai, and Volkswagen, the UAW claims that they are all engaging in aggressive anti-union campaigns to deter workers from organizing. Each one of those automakers has released statements basically affirming workers' rights to engage in union activities and get more information on organizing campaigns. This is sort of the first chapter in the UAW's push to go beyond the already established plants that they've unionized for decades now and move on to places where You know, there is no history of unionization, and it's going to be fascinating to watch. And this is not one of the companies that's involved in this specific story, but watch for Tesla. This could be a huge, huge fight because they are, you know, the biggest U.S. Based automaker that it does not have union shops. And this could be a battle royale between Sean Fain, the UAW, and Elon Musk.
So that kind of gets into my next question, which is, does the UAW have their sights set on any other companies? So you just mentioned Tesla. Are there any other ones, or is Tesla sort of like the main one that they're probably going to be gunning for next?
Sean Fain and the UAW would say that it's all the above. It's everybody. Like I said, you know, we're already seeing these unfair labor charge allegations against Hyundai and Volkswagen and Honda. So those ones are definitely on their radar right now, and they're actively trying to organize plants run by those companies, and I would expect to see more.
General Motors named a new North America chief, and she's the first woman to serve in that role. Jake, tell us more about the new chief and what's going on with the shakeups at GM.
Yeah, so Marissa West will actually be the first woman to serve in this role as the North America chief for General Motors. You know, it's part of a much bigger executive shakeup right now. Product development chief Doug Parks is retiring. So there are a lot of moving pieces here. You know, Marissa West is really interesting. She has a really incredible resume in the engineering world for GM. Right now, she is the president and managing director for GM Canada. She's been in that role since April 2022. She's spent about 2 decades at GM. She was the chief engineer for GM's global midsize truck and medium duty truck programs. She was also the chief engineer of the 2020 GMC Sierra HD and Chevrolet Silverado HD. So, you know, she has just a really, really impressive resume. And it'll be interesting to see sort of the track that puts her on for, you know, the C-suite at GM in the coming years. I mean, Mary Barra has been in that role for quite a while, and there's been some speculation about her possibly retiring in the coming years, and there doesn't seem to be a really clear successor at this point. I'm not saying Marissa West is necessarily like the obvious choice there, but there are going to be probably some huge promotions coming up in the coming years, and so it's going to be interesting to watch her trajectory.
Jake Neer, audio coordinating producer at Automotive News, and of course, my old co-host here on Mishmash. It's always great to have a little reunion with you, Jake.
Co-host emeritus, thank you very much. It's always fun, Shana. Thank you.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shana Roth, and the incredible Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, Jack Philbrandt, and Jenny Sherman. As always, if you listen to this show and you want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review, or if you really, really like this podcast, and we really hope you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your generous contributions and support, shows like Mishmash and all the other great work done by WDET would not be possible. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.